Arch, I will say good morning. We're going to start a few minutes early. I apologize in advance. I have to stop a few minutes early. Baruch Hashem, I have a bris to go to. So, mazel tov, mazel tov. So let's begin. So today's daf. What is today's daf? Today's daf. Let's do lamed. We'll do lamed today. All right. So today's daf is. Right, why not? It's a good day for lamed. And so we'll do daf lamed today. Meretz Hashem 30. We are going to pick up in Meretz Hashem at the bottom of Chof Tes Amud Beis. So we left off Ela Amar of Ashi. So we left off 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says the following. Ela Amar of Ashi. So mostly remember, we're trying to figure out the case of the menorah in the Rishus HaRabim. And remember, I was thinking of a better formulation, but yeah, it is what it is. So the I'm sorry. All right. So says the Gemara. So remember again, we had an interesting brisa, and the brisa spoke about the idea. The brisa said, "Ahofech asagalo b'rishos harabim," that if somebody literally lifted up dung or the manure in the rishos harabim, literally turned it over, v'huzak b'ayin, and then someone else is injured by it, chayiv benisko. The one who lifted it up and turned it ultimately again is chayiv in damages. That's what we spoke out. So we're trying to figure out what that case is. What is the case of where the person lifts it up and ultimately is then chayiv for it? So it says the Gemara, El Amar Ravashi, Kishavcha Lefachos Mishlosha. Oh, so Ravashi says the case is where what? You lifted it up, but you lifted it up less than three tfachim. Rabbi says, what's the chap in that? So if you lifted it up less than three tfachim, Kishavcha Lefachos Migimel, Rashi says, Dimitchila lo higbiya shlosha, Hilchach lav hagbohi, Dikvar pasuach tami, Velo nistam habar meolam, Bechebun dolo nis So let's listen to this. So the case over here suggests Ravashi is where the person lifted up the menorah less than three tefachim. Now remember again, what's the chapo less than three tefachim? Less than three tefachim is lavud. It's still considered to be attached to the ground, which means that you haven't done a significant act of agbah. So in a case where a person has lifted it up less than gimel and has not had in mind to acquire the manure, then in a case like that, when a person simply puts it back down, they will not be chayiv for nezikin. So it says the Gemara, "My duchki, Rabbi Lazar, my duchki, Rabbi Lazar, lo ok mekigon shafcha lefachos megimel v'tayma dechinis." So why? So now ask the Gemara. So now, why, Rav Ashi, according to you, why does Rabbi Lazar have to go out of his way to set up the case as a situation where a person lifted up and turned over the menorah less than three tefachim? And the reason why he's not chayav for subsequent damages is why. But taimu dechin eskavin lezak ospa, haim eskavin lezak ospa, lo. And the reason he's not chayav is because he didn't have in mind to acquire the menorah. But had he had in mind to acquire the menorah, he would be chayav for damages. Look ma lamala migimel. Why don't you instead go ahead and set up the case as where he lifted it up more than three tefachim? Va'afa gav delo niskavin lezak ospa chayav. And why don't you say the following? Once you lift it up more than three tefachim, even if what? Even if what? Even if lemaisa again, even if lemaisa you didn't have in mind to go ahead and acquire it, you should still be chayiv for that. Amar Rava, masnisin kishise. Because Rava said the Mishnah itself is problematic or difficult to understand. How so? Ma'ir yahafach. Why does the Braisa say that he turned over the manure? Meaning, why do you use that lashon of hafach? Why don't you use the lashon of what? Higbia. You lift it up. So the Gemara says, "My area hafach, listen, higbia, say he lifted up, elish mamina, kol hafach lemata mishloshu." Rather, learn out from here that what? Any case of turning over something is by definition less than three tefachim. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara just pointed out, and this is actually a good tool for your Gemara toolbox, is the lash hagigba usually means more than three tefachim. Hafach, right, means less than three tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Mid Rabbi Lazar Amar Chayiv." So the fact that Rabbi Lazar says that Shechayiv. So what's according to Rabbi Lazar? Therefore, if you had in mind, so either one of two cases, either case number one is where you lifted it up more than three tefachim, in which case you acquire the manure, and if subsequently someone is injured by it, you're chayiv for it. Or if what? If even less than three tefachim, but what you had in mind to acquire it, you'll be chayiv as well. So the Gemara says, "Mid Rabbi Lazar Amar Chayiv." Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pater. So the fact that Rabbi Lazar says you're chayiv indicates to us what Rabbi Yochanan says. That's your potter. First wide line. Me and Rabbi Yochanan Haki. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Vahatnan. We learned. This is actually going to be our next Mishnah. Vahatnan. We learned. Hamatznia sakotz v'esaschuches v'agoder. So Rabbi says, if a person puts, a person literally hides, a coat is a thorn. Zuchuches ultimately are glass shards. we'll see he's hiding this ultimately in a wall. Vahagolder gidro mikbekotzim, or one goes ahead and builds a wall out of thorns. Vegeder shenafal ushusarabim, or you have a wall that fell into ushusarabim. Vohozak vahen. And we'll say all of these cases, someone is injured. Chayiv binisko. So we'll say ultimately the owner of the wall is chayiv in damages. Va'amr Rabbi Yochanan said, lo shenor ala b'mafriach. This is only true. And we'll say specifically focusing on, let's say, the thorn wall. When are you chayiv if somebody's damaged on the thorn wall? Only b'mafriach. Rashi says, mafriach rosh kitzoseha b'rushus harabim. Rabbi Yochanan says the only time you're chayv is when you allowed your thorn wall to grow out into the public domain. Then you are chayv for any damages ultimately that occur. Same potter, but if you keep the wall within your rishus hayochid, then literally what? You are potter if somebody gets injured on it. So the Gemara says mitzan same my time a potter. So why is it that if a person keeps the thorn wall within the rishus hayochid, ultimately they're potter? The reason is because it's true, it's a bar, but at the end of the day, it's a bar in my rishus. So you can infer from that, that's what? That although Rabbi Yochanan exempts you for a bar birshus hayochid, bepashtos, he would obligate you in what? In a bar birshus harabim. Alma, what do you see from here? Mafkir nizak of chayiv. So what do you see from here? You see from here that even, it's going back to yesterday's discussion, that even if you go ahead and you render your bar ownerless in Rishus HaRabim, you are still chayiv ultimately for what? For any damages that occur. To which the Gemara says, lo, the olam emel achav mafkir nizak of pater. No, it's not true. In reality, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if you're mafkir, your damage-causing property, you're still potter. My time a potter. And why is it that if a person keeps their thorn wall limited to their rishus hayochid and someone gets injured on it, why is it that I'm potter? Because it's not the derech of people to rub themselves against walls. In other words, people are generally careful not to walk up scraping right against the wall. So if somebody scrapes up against my thorn wall, that's their negligence and not my liability. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki stan mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said, the halacha follows the stan mishnah. And what does the stan mishnah say? Utnan, hachofer bar birshus harabim. So we'll say, remember again, the fundamental machlokis we're trying to figure out over here is, lemaisa again, if I have a damaging object in rishus harabim, and I matkir it, I declare it ownerless, am I responsible for the damages done or not? The Gemara is suggesting that this is a machlokis between Rabbi Lazar, ultimately again, and Rabbi Yochanan. We've established that Rabbi Lazar holds that mafkir nizakov, that if one is mafkir, is damaging property, and the property does damage, he's chayiv, and therefore we infer from that that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you're potter. The Gemara is challenging that assertion. Umir Rabbi Yochanan, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Hamar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kistan mishnah, yet Rabbi Yochanan said, halacha faz stan mishnah. What does the stan mishnah say to Nan? Hachofer bar bishus harabim. If one digs a pit in a shusharabim, then nafal usocho shar, O chamar umeis, and Reuven's shor or his ox falls into it and dies. Chayif. Let's say, what do you see from there? Let's say that would appear to be a case of mafkir nezaka b'rishus harabim. Right? I'm going ahead and what? I'm digging a pit in rishus harabim. I'm being mafkir it. I'm declaring it ownerless. And yet what? I am still liable for damages that occur. So it seems to be from here that Rabbi Yochanan would concur with Rabbi Lazar. The other Rabbi Yochanan amr chayif. So let's say, no, we reverse course a little bit. Rabbi Yochanan is one who says that even if you declare your property ownerless in Rishus HaRabim and it does damage, you are chai for that damage. Therefore, we'll say, if Rabbi Yochanan is going to say you're chayiv, then we have to infer from that, that's what? That Rabbi Lazar says you're potter. So the Gemara says, really, Vahamar Rabbi Lazar, top of Lamed, Mishun Rabbi Yishmael. B'yat Rabbi Lazar, here's the problem, right? Rabbi Lazar was said in the name of Rabbi Yishmael before, that's what? That Lamein says, again, there are two things that are not in your Rishus, but the Torah places them back in your Rishus. Remember, what were the two things? What were the two things? Chametz on Pesach, or Chametz Mishesh from 6 hours on, and Bar Birshus Haradim. So it's clear that according to Rabbi Lazar holds that even if you make your damaging property hefker, you are still responsible ultimately for what? For damages. To which the Gemara says, Lokasha, it's not a contradiction. Hadidei, hadirabei. Two different opinions. One is his opinion, Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Lazar's personal opinion is that what? That one is not chayiv for damage done by property that he has made hefker. And opinion number two, ultimately, again, is the opinion of his Rebbe. And his Rebbe holds, like Rabbi Yochanan, that one, in fact, is chayiv for damage done in Rishus Arabim, even if he made the property hefker. Fine, says the Mishnah. Hashofech mayim b'Rishus Arabim b'hozak b'hain acher. So it says this: I poured water in Sarabim, and someone slips on it. And is damaged. The halacha is chayiv b'nisko. I, the water pourer, am chayiv for damages. Hamatznias akotz ves azchuchis ves. So we'll say if somebody places a coat as a thorn, a zchuchis is a shard of glass, and we'll see what's happening over here as I'm placing it in a wall. Vageder as kidro b'kotzim, or somebody constructs a wall out of thorns. Vageder shenaf alosh sarabim v'hozak b'hain acherim. Or we'll say what happens: the wall falls down, and people on the sarabim are injured by it. The halacha is in all these cases chayiv b'niskan. I am responsible for any damages that occur. So says the Gemara, Amurav, lo shanu ela dinitfu kela b'mayim. So we'll say, Rav's beginning with the water case. Remember again, the Mishnah began with the water case. I pour water in the Sarabim, and somebody is damaged. Rav says, what kind of damage are we talking about? We're talking about damage to one's clothing. So for example, I pour water, Reuven comes along, and his clothing gets soaked and gets ruined. Right? So now the Mishnah, Rav says, the Mishnah tells me, I am responsible for that. So says the Gemara, who atzma potter? This is very interesting. But if Reuven comes along and Reuven slips on the water, and what? And he gets injured, I am potter. Why am I potter? This is amazing. The Gemara says, karka olam hezikaso. Because in reality, I did not injure Reuven. What injured Reuven? The land. Right? The land meaning, I didn't cause the injury. I didn't do anything. The mice, again, I slipped. But the slippage itself, I will say, here's the interesting chav. It's not the slippage that causes the injury. What causes the injury? The impact on the ground. So Lemaisa again, I did not do the damage. To which the Gemara says, I'm going to have another Rav. Lo yehei ela kirif sho. So we'll say, so Rav Huna says, but 1 second, it's not really true. Meaning, the water falls on the ground. The water creates mud. Rif Sho is like his mud. The water creates mud. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, it's the mud that ultimately he trips in. And that, so it's the mud that's responsible for the damage. If you look at Rashi, Lo Ye Eliku Rif Sho, Rashi says, Hamashlich Zevela Birshus Arabim. One of those was actually, literally, it's his waste. And then we spoke about the idea that one is permitted at certain times of the year to empty out their septic tanks. We'll talk about this more in a little bit. In Rishus Arabim, Milo Mechayiv, Kilo Efkiro, Hachinami Rif Shohu, Da Aske, Shenis Arbu Hamayim Va'afar, Venasis Tit, Vishalohu, Midimokile Betin Efkilo, Mechladlo Afkare, Da Habarlo Chaykin. So we'll say, so without getting into the technicalities of here, Rashi's going to teach us this has to be a case of where he didn't relinquish ownership over the water. Because if he relinquished ownership over the water, then it's bar. And if it's bar, you're not Chayiv for damage to Kalim. Right? We know this is special exclusionary. So we don't have to be focused on this point. The point over the Gemara is making over here is how can you tell me that I'm exempt for the water? The water itself should be like mud, right? Lemaisa again, just like if I empty out my mud, I empty out my waste. Even if I have permission to do so, I'm responsible for damages. I should be responsible for damages here also. Misabris below tamumaya. So the Gemara says, do you think this is a case? Ultimately, again, where the water was not absorbed into the ground? No, this is the case. And therefore, Rashi says, you're assuming when you say mud, that the water collected on the top of the ground and formed mud. That's not the case. The case over here is Bedetamu Maya, where the water was totally absorbed by the ground, and therefore what? There was no mud. There was no mud. Therefore, there might be some moisture on the top of the ground, but that type of moisture ultimately, Rav suggests that what? That Lemaisa, again, he's not injured by the water, but ultimately he's going to be injured by the impact with the ground. And it happens to be, we don't pass in that way. We ultimately understand that, again, if he slips on the water, the Balamayim, the owner of the water, will be chayiv. But again, nevertheless, an interesting assertion. So the Gemara asks, Vatarti Lamali. So we'll say, now, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, I have two cases that teach me this, meaning the last two Mishnayos essentially say the same exact thing. So this Mishnah is talking about, again, if I pour water, ultimately, again, and somebody slips on the water. And the previous Mishnah was, my jug broke. And remember, again, we also established that case as water being poured into the Rishus Arabim first when I was slipping, right? Niskal, as I tripped, the water falls into the Rishus Arabim. So they asked the Gemara, why do you need two Mishnayos that teach me the same exact case? V'tarti lamali, chadde b'yonsechama, v'chame b'yonsegishamim. Oh, because they're referring to two different time frames. One is talking about the summer, and one is talking about the winter. So we'll say, what's the chaf between the summer and the winter? So remember again, that in the summertime, the halacha is, you don't have the right to empty out your septic tanks or your water pipes into Rosh Hashanah, but in the winter time, you do. Therefore, I will say, I might have thought that, for example, I understand if you tell me that during the summertime, if I spill water in Rosh Hashanah and somebody slips on it, I'm chayiv, because there's no water in the summertime. Therefore, if I spill water and somebody gets damaged, I'm chayiv. But in the winter, when everyone is dumping out their stuff, everybody is allowing their water, their waste to flow into Shurabim, I might have thought that's what? That if I go ahead and I spill some water and Reuven slips on that I'm not going to be chayiv because I almost have a reshus to go ahead and spill water. Halacha l'maisa, that's not true. I'm going to be chayiv still even in the winter. Disanya, because we all say we learned, call elush amru poskin b'bosein v'garfim arosein b'mosechamo. We'll say all of those situations where we say that you're permitted, poskin b'bosein v'garfim arosein means you're allowed to empty out the pipes with waste. You're allowed to clean out the septic tanks into Rosh Hasharabim during the winter. So the Gemara says, the halacha is that you're permitted to clean out your septic tanks and your waste pipes in the winter, because remember again, the winter is the rainy season, the roads are ruined anyway, but in the summertime, you may not do this. But here's the chav, Rabosei, now, even though during the winter I have the right to clean out my septic tanks, into Rosh Hasharabim, im heziko chayavim l'shalim. Rabosei is an incredible yisod. In other words, sometimes you have the reshus to do something, but that doesn't absolve you of responsibility. So I have reshus to go ahead and empty out the septic tanks, but I still have responsibility to guard the public from damage. Therefore, the novelty of the Gemara is talking to me over here is the same way in the Mishnah. One Mishnah is talking about the summertime, and if I spill water and someone goes down and slips on it, I'm chayif. So we'll say that's quite obvious to us. The greater novelty is the wintertime, where this water, anyway, Rosh Hasharabim, I might have thought that I shouldn't be liable if Reuven slips on the water because there's water everywhere. Kamash Malon, no, that if Reuven slips on the water, I am chayev for that damage as well. Why? Because even in times of year where you have the right, where you have the license to empty things out into Rosh Hasharabim, I might have the license to place it there, but that license does not absolve me of personal responsibility. So remember again, the case of the Mishnah was a person hid a thorn. The other piece was that a person built a wall of thorns, and someone gets injured. Someone in the Rosh Hasharabim gets injured on that. So the Gemara says, we just learned this before. That's only true if what? If you allowed your thorn wall to extend out into Rosh Hasharabim, avam mitzam same lo. But if you keep your thorn wall within what? If you keep your thorn wall within your property, then you're not going to be chayiv if somebody gets damaged. My time apart. Or why is that? Because as we said before, it's not the derech of people to walk rubbing up right against the wall. So if somebody walks up rubbing up right against the wall, that's their liability. Tan Rabban, Rabbi says an interesting case. Hamatznia kotzosav uzichuchiyosav l'sochkol. So shachaveiro, I say, listen to this. Reuven has a wall. I decide to go ahead and store my thorns or to store my glass shards in Reuven's wall. Now I'm doing this without Reuven's knowledge. What's the hoba bala kosel v'sasar kosel v'nafalosh sram v'ziko? So we'll say, what happens? Reuven decides to take down his wall. He knocks down his wall. And what happens? So what comes flying out? The shards or the thorns. And it ends up injuring someone else. So what's the halacha? Chayiv hamatznia. The person who stored the objects in the wall will be chayiv for any subsequent damages that occur. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan qualifies this. Lo shanu ela b'kol sora'ua. Well, so that's only true if it was a rickety wall. Look at Rashi. Rashi says b'kol sora'ua. Ta'avide l'matznia la'asuki adayte shekosaza omi v'sosro. Because the person who stored the object in the wall should have realized, you know what, if this is a rickety wall, chances are that's what? The owner is going to be taking this down sometime soon. And therefore, if he put his stuff in there, he's liable for any damages it subsequently causes. Avabakosel bari. But I will say, if it's a solid wall, listen to this. Hamatznia potter v'chayev balakosel. Well, it's actually a very dramatic halacha. But if it's a solid wall, then what? Then lemaisa, again, the person who placed the objects in there is freed from responsibility, but the balakosel, the owner of the wall, is chayiv. Rashi says, Dahavi le'latzninu. So we'll say, this is actually amazing. By the way, this also tells you just about the credible responsibility you have to safeguard the public from damage. In other words, if I'm taking down a wall, essentially what the halacha is saying is that what? Is that what? It's my responsibility to make sure that there are no hazards in that wall. Even though, again, what right do you have to be placing stuff in my wall as the Baal HaKosel, right? Then ultimately, again, I am responsible for any potential damages that would come down from taking down that wall. So therefore, I will say again, if it's a rickety wall, the person who placed the stuff in there, he's going to be chayav, because don't place your stuff in rickety walls that you know are going to come down. But if it's a solid wall, and there's no reason to assume the Baal HaKosel is taking that down, then lemaisa, again, the Baal HaKosel bears the responsibility for any subsequent damages brought on by the object stored in the wall. As the Gemara says, Amar Avina, this says, Zos Omeres, HaMechase Boro B'dalyo Shel Chavero. So also, this would seem to tell us that what? That if I cover my pit with Reuven's cover, let's say Reuven has a cover, a pit cover, he's not using it now. So I go into his yard, and I go ahead and I take his pit cover, and I cover my pit, and what happens? But then Reuven comes back and says, Silver, you took my pit cover without my permission, and he takes it back without telling me. And then what happens? Chayiv balabar. Then something falls into my bar, right? I'm responsible for that. So we'll say, even though Reuven uncovered my bar without my knowledge, but Lamaisa, because I covered my bar with what? With his cover, I took it without permission, he's permitted to take it back. So the Gemara says, so Pshita, what's the novelty in that? Meaning, at the end of the day, Lamaisa, of course Reuven can take back his property. So Gemara says, what would I have thought? Hassam, in the case of the coats, in the case of the thorn, hu delo haviyodea delo de. So I say, I might have thought, in the case of the thorn, so lemaisa again, lemaisa, if it's in my wall, I don't know whose thorn this is. I don't know whose thorn it is. I don't know whose glass it is. I don't know who to tell. Aval hecha diyadale havile laduye. But in this case again, where Reuven knows that he's taking back his pit cover and he knows that it's my pit, perhaps he has an obligation to tell me that he's uncovering my pit. Kamashvallah said that he's permitted to take back his stuff even without what? Even without saying a word to me. So the Gemara says, fine. Kamashvallah, not like that he can take back his stuff even without telling me. So this is an incredible halacha. So this halacha literally says that lemaisa, there's a responsibility on the Baal HaKosel. There's a responsibility on the owner of the wall to make sure that his wall is what we'll call damage free or damage force free before he takes it down to Shurabim Tanrabanan. So we'll say the Gemara says now beautiful Bray say Hasidim Harishonim Hayu Matnim Katso Sehem Uzikuchi of Sehem Bisoch Sadosem. So we'll say the Hasidim Harishonim, the early pious ones, what they would do is they would hide their thorns and their glass shards inside their fields. Those are both sides. The Hasidim HaRishonim wanted to make sure that their objects would not damage anyone. So what did they do? They would hide it in their field. And what would they do? Umamikila and Gimel Tfachim, Kedeshla Yaakeva Macharisha. They would dig down, and essentially they would bury their glass shards, and they would bury ultimately again their thorns 3 Tfachim down into the ground. Why 3 Tfachim down into the ground? Because that's deep enough that even when the plow comes by, the plow won't dig enough. And I will say, so it's interesting that the Gemara is choosing to indicate that this is part of what makes a chassid a chassid. A chassid is someone who is preoccupied with the notion of not causing another damage. I don't want to in any way impair the other. Therefore, again, I do whatever is within my power to remove those potential damaging forces from the purview of the other. So they brought it into their own field, and they buried it deep down. Rav Sheshes Shadi La Benura. Rav Sheshes used to throw his thorns and his glass shards into a fire to totally destroy them. Rava Shadi La Bediglas. Rava used to throw them into the river. Diglas is a river. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hayman de Bailam Mehavi Chasida. If somebody wants to be a chassid, somebody wants to be very pious, so the Kaim Mili Din Azikin. This is an amazing statement. So Rav Yehuda says, if you want to be a chassid, if you want to be very pious, then what you should try to be makbid on is damages. is damages. Rabbi Yossi, you understand, mili dinazikin doesn't just simply refer to monetary damages. It means with your mouth, it means with your actions, it means with your property. Meaning, you want to be a chassid, you want to be chassid. You know, being a chassid means being a mitsuyan, being someone who's proficient in your bit adam l'chaveiro. That's what it means to be a chassid, to be someone who never chas v'shalom damages the other in any way, and instead only builds up the other. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava says, mili da'avas. No, it's not mili dinazikin, but ultimately, again, it's mili da'avas. I will say, what's mili da'avas? If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel, he says over here, what does it mean, mili da'avas? Pirkei Avos, Maseches Avos, Moshe Kibel. So we'll say, so what does this mean? You want to be a chassid? We'll say, what's the playbook for being a chassid? Pirkei Avos. Because Pirkei Avos has the most important moral ethical lessons. So therefore, if you live a life of Pirkei Avos, then by definition, you will be a chassid. Va'amrila, and others say, mili debrachas. Others say, will say, if you want to be a chassid, meseches brachas. What is meseches brachas? Look at the game, Rabbeinu Chananel. Va'amrila, mili debrachas. Keda amrina, asr la'adam leharnas mina olam azeh below bracha. We'll say, what does it mean, mili debrachas? You know, the ikra of a bracha is, you can't get benefits from this world without making a bracha. We'll say, which is another way of saying, you know what makes a chassid? When you realize that everything belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam. When I realize that every single thing I have in this world, big and small, my relationships, my property, my neshama, my breath, my heart, my spouse, my children, when I realize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asr lehanos limina olze below bracha, that's a chassid. So what's an incredible, incredible, again, there's so much to say on this, but here again, so what does it take to be a pious individual? Three opinions. Mili dinazakim ben adam lechavero, that's what it takes. Don't harm the other in any way. Number two possibility is Pirkei Avos, moral ethical lessons. Possibility number three, ultimately, again, mili debrachas. Recognize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you recognize that, then what? Then Lamaisa, that's the path to piety. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi es tivno v'kash lo shus harabim. If somebody goes ahead and takes his straw, I will say, so tibno and kasho refer to two different types of straw. One is processed straw, one is unprocessed straw. Samoti es tibno v'kash lo shus harabim lizvalim. I will say, why is a person taking it out? He's taking it out in order to make it, to compost it. So what would happen? You would take your straw out of sarabim, you dafka want people to trample on it, because that's part of the composting process. Then you want to take this back into your field and use it as fertilizer. So what happens? You put your stuff out of sarabim to compost it, behuzak b'hen acher, and someone is damaged by it. So what's the halacha? Chayiv b'nisko. We'll say the halacha is, even though I put it out to compost it, I am chayiv in damages. Interestingly enough, whoever wants to acquire that straw in Sarabim has the right to do so. So what's an interesting halakha? It sounds like anyone who wants to take the straw is permitted to take the straw. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Mekalkin Rosh Sarabim Vezikon Chayav Meshalim. So what's Reb Shimon Gamliel says, anyone who is Mekalkil, anyone ultimately again who goes ahead and does something damaging in Rosh Sarabim, is Chayiv to pay for his damages. V'chala Kodem Bohem Zacha, and whoever wants to acquire these objects while they lay in Rosh Sarabim has the ability to do so. Ha'ofech Esagol Rosh Sarabim Behuzak Bohem Acher Chayiv Benisko. Similarly, one who takes a piece of manure and turns it over, as we already spoke about this case, and as a result, or not as a result, afterwards, someone is damaged, so the turner over is chayiv in damages. So says the Gemara, Lema Masis Nidok Rabbi Huda. So say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Huda. How so? The Sanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Bishas Hotzaz Zevalim, Adam Motze Zevalur Sarab. So both say there was a time during the year where it was common for people to take out their composting material. And they would go and they would lay it on Rosh Sarabim, and they would want the people and the animals, pedestrian traffic, to trample over it and to compost it. So Rabbi Yehuda says that when people bring out their stuff to compost, the tzovro kol shloshim yom, and they're able to pile it in Rosh Sarabim for 30 days, kadeshu nishof beragli adam or ragli behema, in order that people and animals trampled over it. Shamanas came. Himchil Yoshua Saretz. And I will say, this was one of the tenoim. This was one of the conditions that Yoshua built into public domains in Rosh Hashanah. In other words, I will say, one of the conditions that Yoshua built in to the conquest of Eretz Yisrael is that everyone has equal use of the Rosh Hashanah, and that people are permitted to compost their stuff in Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, therefore, what do you see from here? That Rabbi Yehuda says that people have the reshus to go ahead and compost their materials in Rishrab. Now, if somebody has the reshus to do so, then what? Then Lamaisa, number one, therefore, again, if I have the reshus to do it, then what? I shouldn't be chayv in damages. And number two, if I have the reshus to do it, then what? Then no one else should be able to come along and take my straw. Yet the Mishnah said that if somebody else comes along and gets damaged, I'm chayv for damages. And number two, what? If they want to take it, they're permitted to take it. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Feel tim Rabbi Yehuda. You could even say Rabbi Yehuda, mold Rabbi Yehuda, shem hizik, mishalim, mash hizik. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if you go ahead and damage, so you are chayiv for damages. If you say, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, who says that you are permitted to go ahead and compost the straw, holds that if what? That if you go ahead and some damage someone with the straw, you are chayiv for damages. But it's the same idea that we said in the last sugya, namely, that even when you have a license to do something, nevertheless, what? You still have responsibility for your actions. So the Gemara said, v'hatana, but we learned, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer b'ner chanukah pater. Oh, let's say, remember this? We learned this already in two places, that if somebody puts their ner chanukah out, and let's say Reuven brings his camel along, and the load catches on fire because it's ignited by an ner chanukah, I, the owner of the ner chanukah, am pater. So here you see that when you have, so here you see that again, here pater for a damage done rish sarabim, to which the Gemara says, no, 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 the difference over there is if they shave your shus, because that's done, meaning the placement of ner chanukah and rish sarabim is done with permission. My love, rishus beizdin, is that not because beizdin allows me to do it, and therefore because I have the rishus to put on rish sarabim, therefore again I pater from damages. So too we should say that what? Therefore, same thing, if I have a license to compost my straw and rish sarabim and I place it there, and someone else gets damaged, what should be the halacha? What should be the halacha? I should be pater because I did it with rishus. No, no, no. Lo mishum rishus mitzvah. No. When we say rishus, it's because it's a mitzvah. Meaning I have an obligation, a mitzvah to put near chanukah and rish sarabim, and then because that there's a mitzvah, that's why I'm exempted from damage done by the Ner Chanukah, to which the Gemara says, Tashma, call Elu Shomer Mutar in the Kalka, Bush Sarab, I'm sorry, Disanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, B'Ner Chanukah Pater, Mipnei Shi Rishus Mitzvah. That's Rabbi Huda says, with Ner Chanukah, if you put Ner Chanukah out in the Rishus Arabim, and it does damage, you are Pater. Why? Because it was placed there with Rishus. So we'll say, not just simple Rishus, but rather what? Mitzvah Rishus. And when something occurs as a result of if I damage, but I have the right that I have that object there under the reshus of a mitzvah, I am not chayav for damages done. So we'll say, so again, so right now we have two different categories. You can have reshus to place something in your sarabim, like composting your straw, but even though you have the right to place it down there, you nevertheless what? You have the responsibility for damages. So I have the right to place it, but responsibility for damages. Then there's a different kind of reshus called reshus mitzvah. When it comes to reshus mitzvah, we'll say, what's the halacha? Not only do I have reshus to place it there, but what? I'm absolved from damages. Again, assuming I acted in a responsible manner, I am absolved from damages. Tashma, kol elu shomer mutar lekalkel b'sarabim. All of those cases where you're permitted to go ahead and literally be makalkel, do something that has the potential to cause damage in b'sarabim, im heziko chayav l'shalim. So you're permitted to do it, but if it did damage, you're chayiv to pay. Rabbi Huda potter, Rabbi Huda exempts one from damage in that case. Amar Rav Nachman, mas nisin shalob b'shas hotzas zevalim. Rabbi Huda hi. Our Mishnah must be talking about a case where what? Where it's not the time where people normally go ahead and take out waste or take out stuff. It's not the compost season. And the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says, remember again, so it's not compost season. So if it's not compost season, then what they're both saying, then what? Then no one has the right to put straw out. If no one has the right to put straw out, then what? Then Lamaise, if somebody's damaged, then what? The owner of the straw is high. But not only that, now the Mishnah makes sense. That's why also, if you put your straw out during non-compost season, then what? If someone else comes along and takes that straw, they're permitted to do so. Because putting it out during non-compost is such as making it hefker. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, on the base, Tivno v'kasho tinan. So the Gemara says, here's the difference. The Mishnah Davka chose the case of Tevin and Kash. So let's remember, Tevin and Kash are processed and unprocessed straw. Now, why does the Mishnah choose those cases? Rashi says, "The mechayiv da adayin lo naasu zevel bekashim heim umachlikin bahen." Because we'll say there's a fear of slippage in this area, meaning straw becomes slippery. So, because straw becomes slippery, that's where again there's the fear of damage. Rashi says, So ultimately, the Mishnah's case dafka is with the case of Tevin and Kash, and that's because, again, in those cases, there's a slippage issue. So because there's a slippage issue, it is clear that Lamaisa, again, you are putting something that has the danger to, that has the capacity to create danger or to create damage, and therefore, again, you're going to be chaya for that. Versus Rabbi Huda's understanding that we're talking about what? We're talking about manure. I will say the chap with manure is there's no danger of slippage. So because there's no danger of slippage, that's what Rabbi Huda might say that lemaisa, again, you could put it out, and if somebody gets damaged, you may not be chayiv for those damages. Why? Because lemaisa, I've not put out something that is really capable of affecting damage. Fine. So I will say, so again, we're left with a machlokis over here. What appears to be a machlokas. Ultimately, again, the Rabbi Huda holds, Rabbi Huda seems to say that when you're permitted to go ahead, it was machlokas. Rabbi Huda saying that when you have the reshus to put something out, Rabbi Huda may say not only do you have the license to do so, but that license also absolves you of responsibility, versus the Tana of our Mishnah who holds that no, when you have the license to put something out, you have the license for placement, but what? That does not absolve you of responsibility. Says the Gemara Kala Kodem Zacha Bohen, Amarav. So we'll remember again, the Mishnah also said that when you put out straw, even during the composting season, so what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Whoever gets it first, ultimately could take it. In other words, that your act of putting it out in the Shulam essentially is an act of hefker, and whoever acquires it. Amarav, Rav said, Bein begufan, Bein beshvachan. So Rav said, well, you're permitted to acquire both sides. Now, the Gemara is assuming over here that there are two parts to the straw. There's what we call the principle of the straw, which is just the ikra value of the straw, and then there's the shevach, meaning the act of composting. Apparently composted straw is more valuable than we'll call raw straw. So when you place your straw out in a straw and it's being composted, there are two values associated with that straw. There's the guf, there's the actual what we'll call the keren, like the original value of the straw, and then there's the shevach, the increased value of the straw. So the shaila now is when the Mishnah says that whoever finds the straw can keep it, what are you permitted, what part of the value are you permitted to keep? So Rav said, bein begufan, bein beshvachan. You could keep the ikr value as well as the appreciated value. Zi'iri amar beshvachan, aval begufan lo, aval lo begufan. Ziri says, no, you could keep the appreciation, but you cannot keep the ikr value, meaning the core value of the straw. So the Mike Miflagi, so we'll say, so again, just want to see how that would manifest itself. So let's say now Reuven put out his straw to compost. It's been composting for the last 20 days. I come and I take it. So Reuven comes and says, give me back my straw. So am I chayiv to give him back anything? According to Rav, I'm not chayiv to give him back anything. I can keep all of it. According to Ziri, I can keep the appreciation amount, but I have to pay him the core value of the straw. So Mike Miflagi, what are they arguing about? Rav Sabar, here you have to understand something. So why is it that I am permitted to take the straw to begin with? In other words, if lemaisa, again, we say that people have a right to put their straw out to compost, why do I have a right to take it? So the answer is, it's a knas. It's a penalty. The rabbis penalized one who put out his straw in Rishrabim. Why? Because it will say, if you put out your straw, as much as, and here's the interesting part, as much as technically you have the legal right to put out the straw, the rabbis are going to penalize you. Why? Because lemaisa, again, you are creating a danger for the public. And when you create a danger for the public, how do the rabbis penalize you? Someone else could take your straw. The shaila is, how much of your straw can they take? So the Gemara says, so Rav Savar, Kansu Gufa Mishum Shvachan. So Rav says that the penalty was, we allowed the finder to take. In reality, we should only allow you to go ahead and take the shevach, but ultimately the additional knas is we allow you to take the guf, the ikar value as well. Uziri savar lo kansu gufan mishum shvachan. And Ziri says, no, the knas is only on the shevach, but not on the guf. So tnan haofech es hagala b'shus rabim v'chuzek mahen. What's my God bless you? If somebody goes in and turns over a piece of nourish to rabim, someone else gets injured on it. Chayiv benisko. Ultimately, again, the manure turner is going to be chayiv because of damages. Interestingly enough, by the manure, the Mishnah doesn't say that what? The Mishnah doesn't say that whoever acquires the manure is going to, it acquires it. The Mishnah never makes that statement. So, Tana L'Reish. So, here what the Gemara is picking up on. Why is it that by the case of the straw, the Mishnah said whoever gets the straw first acquires it, but yet by the case of the manure, the Mishnah never says that. So the Mishnah says it's not a kasha. Tana l'reisha v'don l'seifa. The Mishnah stated it once in the beginning by the case of the straw, and it equally applies in the seifa by the case of the manure. I have a hot tani ala asher mishum gezel. I'll say, here's the problem. We have another brisa that says that what? That you can't take the straw. Why? Because it's theft, it's gezel. So what's going on over here? Ki katani mishum gezel. So I will say ultimately again, when the Mishnah says that it's asur mishum gezel, ki katani asur mishum gezel, akula mas nisin koi, la osa shekodem bizacha. Look at Rashi. I'm sorry, not yet. So therefore the Gemara says, v'halo katani achi, but yet we didn't learn this. So we'll say, see, we're trying to understand over here, the Mishnah is inherently contradictory. Why? Because on one hand, the Mishnah says what? The Mishnah says that lamaisa, again, whoever goes ahead and acquires, the Mishnah says whoever acquires the straw, ultimately has the ability to acquire it. Yet the Braisa says that what? The chayav mishum gezel. You're chayav because of theft. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, "V'halo katani achi disnan hamotzi tivno bekashlosh surabim lizvalim." Well, so listen to this Braisa. Somebody takes out his tevin and his kash, his strons or surabim lizvalim to compost it. V'hozak pon acher, and someone gets damaged on it. Chayiv benisko. Ultimately, again, I, the owner of the straw, am chayiv in damages. The chalakodeh b'hem zacha, whoever acquires the straw has the right to do so. Umutar mishum gezel. And above said there is no issue of theft. Yet, if one goes in and turns over the piece of manure and Rishus Rabbim, and someone else is damaged from it, you are chayiv, meaning the turner is chayiv for the damage, and also there's an issue of theft. So what's going on over here? So why is it, I'm chayiv for theft, I'm chayiv for theft for the manure, but yet, again, I'm not chayiv for theft because of the straw. So what's going on? Amrav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Galal Karamis. So we'll say, you can't compare the case of the manure to the case ultimately of the straw. So we'll say, when it comes ultimately again to something that appreciates, when it's under Sarabim, so the Knas, the rabbis penalized the owner of the object and said that you're going to go ahead and get to keep the appreciation as well as the guf. So the Gemara says, davar she'in bo shevach, but ultimately something that does not appreciate. So the Gemara says, davar she'in bo shevach, lo kanso. The rabbis ultimately, again, we did not penalize you, and therefore what? And therefore you don't even acquire even the guf of the item. Therefore the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Manure, which does not appreciate when placed in Rosh Hasharabim, one does not acquire it. One cannot just simply take someone else's manure. And therefore, lamaisa, again, if you do take someone else's manure, you are chayiv for that. Versus straw, which does appreciate in Rosh Hasharabim, the rabbis penalize the owner of the straw, and therefore said if someone else takes the straw, lamaisa, again, they are chayiv mishum gezel. They are not chayiv mishum gezel. There is no issue of theft. Ibai luhu, suppose that you know what, we're going to stop over here for today. A lot to do. So I think, alright, stay tuned. We'll see. Either we'll start 5:45 or I'll record this later on in Mirat Hashem. But alright, you'll keep up. If you're not on the WhatsApp, sign up on the WhatsApp with Sayyid. And we'll set that up. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up in Mirat Hashem with the rest of this later. So we continue on Lamed Amud Beis 30b in the second part of today's daf, Ibai Luhu. So the Gemara says it's about midway down the daf. Ibai Luhu, the Divrei HaOmer Kansol Gufo Mishum Shavacha. According to the opinion who says that we penalize the individual who put out his straw to compost his straw, that we penalize him not just in terms of the shevach, the improvement, but in terms of the keren, the guf, what we call the primary value of the straw itself. So la alter kansinon o lechimaisi shvachan kansinon. Do we penalize him immediately? I mean, immediately upon putting down the straw? Or does we have to wait until the straw itself appreciates? So the Gemara says, mid tashma medeka akaryon galo. So the Gemara answers, from the fact that the Mishnah included the case of manure, seems to indicate to us that lemaiso, chazal penalized the individual who was composting his straw, even from the moment he put it out in Rosh Hasharabim, even before it had a chance to improve. Because since it's bringing down the case of manure, so the Gilolin, the menorah, is something that does not improve at all. The Tisbira asks the Gemara, but one second, ki ayrinon galol mikameid l'shani Rav Nachman. But before, when we're talking about the galol, so that was before Rav Nachman gave his particular answer. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, ki ayrinon galol mikameid l'shani Rav Nachman, da havisfir alon, da af agav de'in sovo lahashpiach, konis rav. So remember again, this was before Rav Nachman made his statement that even something that is not going to appreciate, Rav still says that the rabbinic penalty applies. V'choshekin tebedavar shesofo lahashbiach konim la'altar, konis la'altar. Also again, if there's going to be a rabbinic knas by something that doesn't improve, so all the more so if the item does improve, the rabbinic penalty will be in place from the beginning. To which the Gemara says, but ultimately, again, after Rav Nachman gave his answer, is there any room to bring up Galal, to bring up the case of the menorah as a shaylo? So, Limach Ketanoi says the Gemara, in fact, this is a machlokes tanoim. Shtar shekasu bo ribis kon sinoso, if you have a document, a loan document, that includes in it a provision for ribis, a provision for charging interest, kon sinoso, we penalize the lender. It's an amazing idea. Rabbi Meir says that if you lend with interest, the rabbis penalized you, and not only can you not collect the interest, but you also can't collect the keren, you can't collect the principal. The chachamim say, gova es hakeren, avalo es haribis. You can collect the keren, the principal, but you can't collect the interest. Salima rav da amar kerebi meir, uziri demak rabbanim. So we'll say, so let's assume that Rav, who said above on the top of the Amid, that when you put out the straw to compost, the rabbis penalized you, both with the improvements as well as the core value of the straw. So let's see, he holds like Rabbi Meir, who holds that when you lend with interest, both the principal as well as the interest are uncollectible. And Ziri, who says that the penalty only applies to the appreciation of the straw, would hold like the Chachamim, who say that the lender could still collect the principal but can't collect the interest. Amalecha Rav, so Rav would say to you, Anad Ami Afil Rabbanon, my position is in accordance even with the Rabbanon. How so? At kan lo kamir Rabbanon hasam ele keren de behetera. So the rabbis only said their case in the case of keren, because ultimate meaning in the case of keren, because ultimately the keren, meaning the primary principle of the loan, is a permitted transaction. Aval hocha keren gufa kamazik. But over here with the straw, even before it appreciates, the straw itself has the capacity to damage. It's the first wide line on Lamed Amud Beis. Ziri amar lacha. Ziri will say to you, ana de amri afilu Rabbi Meir. So Ziri will say, my position is even in accordance with Rabbi Meir. How so? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Meir hasam ela de mishask siva de avid le shuma. So remember, when it comes to interest, the prohibition of interest and the prohibition on the transaction is from the time you wrote up the loan document. In other words, from the beginning, the transaction itself was flawed. Aval hocha, but in the case of the straw, mi yemer de mazik, maybe again, no hezik, maybe no damage will ever happen. To which the marsli makani tana. So say in reality that this is like the machlokes of the following tana. Hamotzi tibno vikashalosh sarabim lizivalim. If somebody goes in and takes out his straw to Rosh Hashanah to compost it, and someone else gets damaged on the straw or is damaged as a result of the straw, chayiv benisko. Ultimately, the owner of the straw is responsible for any damages. But whoever goes ahead and acquires the straw, zocha, ultimately acquires it. Vasurin mishum gezel. Yet again, the straw itself, one may not go ahead and take the straw, meaning to take this. So it's interesting, we'll note this contradiction. On one hand, the Braisa says that the straw essentially is ownerless, and therefore anyone can take it. But if you take it, you're chay mishum gezel because of theft. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, kol ha-mekalkalin b'Rosh Hasharabim v'ziko, whoever goes ahead and does something destructive in Rosh Hasharabim, and as a result injures someone, chayavim l'shalim, is obligated to pay. V'chol ha-kodim b'hem zacha, whoever acquires the straw first is entitled to do so. U'mutar mishum gezel. And ultimately, again, there is no prohibition of theft. So asks the Gemara, ha-gufa kashya, the first part of this braisa is problematic. Why? Amrit kalakode bahem zacha, because at first you said that when someone puts out the straw, the rabbis essentially made their straw hefker, and therefore anyone could acquire it. V'hadim amarastra mishum gezel. And yet then afterwards you said that if you take the straw is usher because of theft. So which one is it? Elalav hachikomer. This is what it means to say. Kalakode bahem zacha bishvachan, v'asurin mishum gezel agufan. Maybe what it means is that whoever takes it, taking it, the it refers to the appreciation. That you're permitted to, anyone is permitted to take the appreciation. But when the Braisa said that you can't take it because it's gezel, because it's theft, Perhaps that's referring to the guf, to the principle, to the original part of the straw. V'aser b'shem gamliel meimar, b'shem gamliel comes along and says, afilu gufan nami kalakodem bahem zacha. And Rav Shimon Gamliel comes along to say that no, once someone puts their straw out into Rosh HaSarabim, anyone is permitted to take the straw, even the, we'll call it the principal part of the straw. And therefore, again, the Gemara says, Lizi'iri vadai tanahi. So according to the opinion of Zi'iri, this is certainly a machlok yes tanahim, l'rav, mili matarahi. But according to Rav, ultimately, again, would we say that this is a machlok yes tanahim? Amalecha Rav, Rav would say to you the following, Dechuli alma, kansu gufan mishum shivacham. So Rav will say like this, everyone holds that ultimately the penalty for putting your straw out in the public domain is that that anyone could take the appreciation as well as the straw itself, meaning the ikar, the core, the principal part of the straw. V'hacha, so what's the machlokes over here? V'halacha ve'in morin kein kamif. It's actually quite interesting. That dispute over here is, sometimes in halacha, we know that the halacha follows in a particular direction, but we don't necessarily advise people to act in that way. So look at Rashi here for just a moment. Bahalocha ve'in morin kein kamiflagi. Tanakama savar halocha dekansu gufan ve'in morin kein. V'achi ka'amar halocha kalakodim emzacha. V'afilu gufan di'eved. V'yasi mireisha lakama limluchi amrina le'asrim shim gezel. So Rav will explain this brice in the following way. Rav will say that the Rabbanon say that halacha lemaisa, that halacha lemaisa, it's true. If you put your straw out in the Rosh Sarabim to compost, the rabbis said that anyone could come and take your appreciation as well as the principal part. But in morin kein, in other words, we don't proactively advise someone to do this. So if someone did it, they're entitled to keep it. But if you ask the shayla, should I do this or not, we would tell you it's gezel, we would tell you it's theft, i.e. we would tell you not to do this. On the other hand, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, that halacha u'morin kein, this is the halacha, that when you compost your straw Rosh Sarabim, ultimately, again, anyone is permitted to take it, both the principle as well as the appreciation, and halacha lemaisa, this is how we would actively advise people as well. So says the Gemara, the Itmar Rav Huna Amar Rav, halacha vein morin kein. So remember, Rav Huna said the name of Rav, this is the halacha, that when one composts their straw Rosh Sarabim, ultimately, again, the straw, both the principle as well as the appreciation become hefker, anyone could acquire it. Vein morin kein, but we don't advise people to act in this way. Rav Adbar Ava Amra halacha u'morin kein, and Rav Adbar Ava says this is indeed a halacha, and we do instruct people to follow in this path. Ini, is this so? V'ha Rav Huna afgir chushle, but ultimately again, yet we know Rav Huna was mafgir chushle. Rashi says over here, afgir chushle, so'orin kilufin, sheshatach ish echad birshus harabim. He's talking about peeled barley that someone spread out in Rosh Hasharabim ultimately in order to go ahead and dry it out. And Rav Huna va'afgir chushle, I'm sorry, v'ha Rav Huna afgir chushle. So Rav Huna himself went ahead and was mafgir someone's peeled barley that he put out in Rosh Hasharabim. Rav Ada bar Ava afgir silikusta. And Rav Ada bar Ava went ahead and was mafkir silikusta. Now she says silikusta is psoles itzurei temarim shasum and shecha. These are leftover dates after they've been used to make beer. So you see that these rabbis are going ahead and proactively being mafkir these items. Bishlam Rav Ada bar Ava kishmaite. So Rav Ada bar Ava is fine. That's in accordance with his logic. He already expressed this idea that both the guf, that both the, we'll call the principle as well as the appreciation is hefker. El Rav Huna lema hadirbe. But ultimately, perhaps Rav Huna recanted his position, to which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, Hano Mutarin Havu. Hano Mutarin Havu. In other words, in this case, the Gemara suggests that these individuals were warned prior. And because they were warned repeatedly prior to this, ultimately, again, therefore, as a penalty, because they ignored prior warnings, these rabbis were mafgir their property in its entirety. So, I suggest you know the halacha lemaisa on this, the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat. This is in Simin Taf Yod Dalet Sif Aleph Paskins, and says the following: Lo Yotzi Adam Tivna Vakasha L'Rosh Hasharabim. A person should not take his straw out into the public domain, Kedei She'adu Shuvia Zevel, in order that people should trample on it and compost it. So, the halacha, one should not take it out. However, Vimotziam, if you placed your straw in and if you did so, the rabbis made your straw like hefker, and whoever wants to acquire it could do so from the moment that the straw begins to appreciate. Mihu, yesh omrim deimor kin lachatchila lahachzik rak b'shevach avalo begufo ve'im sorry val yishom de'in omer mor lo lechatchila lahachzik rak b'shevach avalo begufo ve'im hisru b'bayle v'lo silko mafkirin oso lakol. Ultimately, again, the Rama writes that there are those who say that we do not encourage people lechatchila to go ahead and do this. However, if the owners were warned repeatedly not to put their stuff in Rishus HaRabim, then the entire item, both the guf, the principal, as well as the shevach, are both become hefker. V'mkidem adam v'zachar b'ayim m'shas hotzaz Rishus HaRabim imotzim yado. But the halacha is that if somebody took possession of the straw from the moment that it was put into the Rishus HaRabim, even before it appreciates, ultimately, again, we do not extract the straw from the person who took it. In other words, that we're going to see that halacha lemaisa, essentially, the rabbinic penalty is, if you put something in Rishus HaRabim, it automatically becomes hefker from the moment you place it out there. Liyafa pishem kehefker, and even though, again, ultimately, it's like hefker, im huzak ban adam abeibahar zeymotzi chayav l'shan. So this is very interesting. So halacha lemaisa, as much as the rabbinic penalty says that your straw is going to be hefker, yet halacha lemaisa, in the event that someone gets injured on it, you still have responsibility. So this goes back to this principle that we see being espoused over and over and over, namely, that there are times where although you do not have ownership over something, you still have responsibility. So in this case, when you place your straw in Rishus HaRabim, the rabbis made it hefker. Technically, anyone could come and take it, but yet, if someone gets injured, the person who placed, the owner of the straw, the person who placed it on Rishus HaRabim, will still have that responsibility and liability. All right, the most of you will stop over here. Mir Tashem will pick up on the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph tomorrow. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.